We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
If you all will stand quickly and greet your neighbor and tell them if you ever had a party line before. Go. Who had a party line? Raise your hand. Who doesn't know what a party line is? Raise your hand. So, party lines, man, let me tell you, for those of you who don't know, party lines, way back in the day, first of all, you have to think about a time when phones were connected to the wall in your house, okay? Number two, you had to share a phone line with your neighbors. Okay, right? That sounds crazy. So you can imagine the craziness that could bring about. You are making a phone call, you're in a deep discussion, and you hear somebody pick up somewhere else. You don't know who it is, you don't know where they are, but now they're listening in on your conversation. Or you wonder if somebody is listening in on your conversation very quietly. Or, worse yet, I used to hate this. You would hear the phone ring and you'd go to pick it up and find out it wasn't for you. It was for your neighbor, right? That's the craziness of party lines. And party lines existed not too long ago. I didn't actually have one, but my grandmother did, and we used to think that was neat. Of course, now they figured out they can add 3 digits to the front of our phone numbers, and everybody gets an individual number. And on top of that, cell phones came along, and now everybody in the household has their own private number. That would have been unthought of back then. But as crazy as that all sounds, making phone calls and having folks interrupted or receiving phone calls that aren't for you, I actually want to talk about a different kind of call today, and that is God's call upon our lives as individuals and as the church. Now, I'm going through the ordination process, right? You guys, some of you know that, you're aware of it. Some of you are aware of the ordination process, how long it is. One of the things that happens in the ordination process is that candidates are expected to be able to recite their own personal call story succinctly, simply, get to the point, make us believe you. And so over the course of 6 or 7 years, through all the committees and the boards that you meet with, I will have told my call story many, many, many times. I thought I would practice on y'all today, if that's okay. I'm going to give you my brief account. Here it is. I was born in a little town outside of St. Louis, Missouri, raised in a little Baptist church. That's the church where I met Elena and eventually married her. Once I got to the end of high school, I had to make a decision on what I was going to do with my life, and I felt like God might be calling me into music ministry. And so I went down the road to Missouri Baptist College to get a degree in church music. Halfway through school, I felt like God was saying, "You will be in music ministry, but it won't be in the formal setting that you're used to." Okay, great. So after I graduated, I joined a Christian rock band, and I toured the country. And I did that for 10 years. At the same time that was happening, Elena and I joined a little non-denominational church and moved into the inner city of St. Louis so that we could focus on urban ministry. And so that was our life for 10 years. 10 years and 3 babies. And, you know, as all good things, they say all good things must come to an end. That was the case. About 10 years after that, we just... folks were kind of going in their own direction, doing their own things. And so Elena and I decided to move to Houston to be close to my family. Now, I didn't know what God was going to do with me in Houston. And so I found myself doing what I knew best, which was music stuff. And I worked in music-related retail operations, either selling musical instruments or teaching music lessons. And it was at this point I ended up selling pianos. I was selling grand pianos and upright pianos and keyboards. And met a little lady named Evie. I think Evie's actually watching on Facebook today, so we can say hi to her. And Evie, we had a lot of time, you can imagine, in between customers coming in. It's not like people coming in droves to buy pianos. So we had these wonderful periods of time with long discussion about faith and the future. And it was during those discussions that I really felt a stirring, like God meant it when he called me into ministry. And one day, I'll never forget it, Evie looked at me and she said, "Jim, I don't think you're supposed to be selling pianos. I think you're supposed to be in full-time ministry." And it was like a light bulb went on in my head. I didn't know what that meant, but I went home and I told Elena, I'm going to be looking actively for where God wants me to serve and what that means. It wasn't long after that that we joined this church, and what a wonderful move for us that was. We just plugged in right away. Thank you so much. I ended up going to Walk to Emmaus. I see a lot of people with their crosses on today. Walk to Emmaus. Again, God's just kind of affirming this for me. And so when I got home, I sat down with Marty and talked about it. And together we kind of discussed what ministry looks like in the United Methodist Church. And I was pretty convinced this is where God had called me. And so I entered the process. And that was 4 years ago that we stepped in these doors. And my goodness, what a journey it has been. It's been marvelous. Now, I know that some of you may say, well, that's great for Jim. You know, Jim is called to this wonderful thing, but I could never do something like that. However, the Apostle Paul would disagree. In fact, he says we are all called to something. And so, I want to prove it to you. If you will open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, you'll see this. He says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it." You see, we have been called to this wonderful thing called the church. In fact, the word for church in Greek is ekklesia. If you look up here, do we have that slide? Ekklesia, it's actually made up of two words, ek meaning out of, and klesis, which means called. That one's not coming up. But together, in Greek, the word church literally means an assembly of those called out. Paul says we are one body sharing in one Spirit through one baptism, all under one God and one Lord Jesus Christ, called out of the world and set apart for his purposes. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. You see, we are a part of God's resurrection people, which is global in nature. It spans thousands of years, and it encompasses those on earth and those in heaven. You and I have been called to this holy nation of new creation. And this isn't some earthly gathering of people, maybe like AARP or Oprah's book club. Not that those groups are bad, but I mean, this is the church we're talking about. This is God's very own special possession. We are God's own special people. And what Paul desperately wants his readers to know, and that includes us, is that all the distinctions that exist, all the ways that we identify ourselves, all the ways in which we judge ourselves as better or worse or just plain different than somebody, male, female, strong, weak, black, white, gay, straight, blue collar, white collar, anything that you can think of, all of those differences take a back seat to our new identity in Christ. In fact, listen to how Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 3, 26. He says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." You see, we are all one, members of the eternal nation of Christ with a new, superior identity. We are God's very own children. And just like any organization that we may encounter on earth, or most organizations, this one comes with benefits too. See, Paul mentions in verse 7 of that Ephesians passage that I read that Christ has given grace and gifts to those who are in the church. What are those gifts and what's their purpose? Well, take a look at Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6. I think these are all coming up there, are they? Yeah. Thank you, guys. "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." See, in addition to the gift of God's Spirit that is working in us as we are transformed into the likeness of Christ, we are also gifted in ways that not only benefit the church, but actually the whole world. See, you can bring a prophetic word, Paul says, and that's not like future telling like we've come to believe. Prophesying is simply a pathos-filled social critique. It's someone who cares about reform and gives that word from God in a loving way. You can serve or minister to those in need. Some of you are teachers. Some are encouragers. You're able to instill courage in other people. Some of you are generous with your time or money. Some of you are natural leaders. Some of you are able to recognize when folks need mercy, and you're able to give that. And this is by no means an exhaustive list. In fact, Paul has four such lists in his letters, and none of them are the same. He also lists healers, helpers, administrators, those with knowledge, those who are able to discern certain things. The list goes on and on and on. Paul's point is that we have all been gifted in some capacity to share in the work that God has for us. And we are called to use those gifts, not just for the betterment of the church, but for the betterment of the whole world. And so my question is, how has God gifted you? And how is He calling you to use that gift? In a few weeks, my family and I will be moving north. Like I said, we came here 4 years ago and never had a second guess about where we were supposed to be. You guys may not be aware of your gifts, but I have witnessed them firsthand. Never in my life have I ever felt so loved, so supported, so encouraged, so looked after, and so prayed for. You've been generous with your time and your money. I could take probably the whole hour and mention specific people and specific acts, but we just don't have time for that today. But I need you to know that I could not be where I am in my journey if not for you guys, because of your gifts. You guys have truly embraced the call of Christ to love me and my family in a very real and life-altering way. I want you to know that. And we are truly going to miss you. Truly. My hope in sharing all of this with you this morning is that maybe you will recognize the ways in which God is already using you, and maybe the ways in which God is calling you to continue to use those gifts even after we leave. Perhaps you might take a step back and seriously ask yourself the question, how has God gifted me personally? Am I using those gifts to their fullest potential? You don't have to conjure something up. It's already in you by the power of the Spirit. What are you passionate about? What are you drawn toward? Is there something that someone comes to you on a repeated basis and says, you know, you'd be really good at that? That might be a good indication of something that God is calling you to do. Just simply ask God to invite you into the work that He's already doing, and He will show you. And as He does, I want you to remember the words that Paul had to the church in Ephesus as he begs them to live into their call with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You see, Paul recognizes this tension. The fact that the church is both diverse and yet unified through the Spirit. We are gifted individually, but it's for the benefit of the whole. And it's when we embrace our individual calling within the greater scope of the calling of the church that powerful things happen. The kinds of things that change the lives of the Calverts and can change a community like Missouri City. I don't know why God chooses it to do this way. I'm still learning that in seminary, so don't ask me. Why would He usher in His kingdom through something as fragile as the church? I don't know. He knows we're going to mess up. He knows we're going to fail from time to time. He knows that we will flat out say no. But yet I think that God looks at us and says, gosh, I love that beautiful mess. I think God is utterly pleased that His love is ushered into this world through us. That is both daunting and exciting at the same time. But the good news, folks, is that God's call is not like those old party lines. Amen. God's call is specific, and it is tailored just for you as individuals and as this church, as His body in Missouri City. So what does it mean to be called by God? A call is simply an invitation by God into the work that He is doing. It is an invitation to receive the gifts that He offers to those who say yes. It's an invitation to participate in the gospel story, which is God's unfolding good news for the world. My brothers and sisters, may you be richly blessed as you continue to discern that call and seek to live into it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.